I'm going to ask you to take your Bible and turn to the Gospel of Luke. If you weren't with us last week, we kind of began we're just doing like a little short study on prayer, and it's really on looking at the prayer life of Jesus out of the Gospel of Luke and allowing that to help teach us how to pray. That's what the disciples asked him here right in the middle of Luke. Of course, you know the Lord's Prayer, but they said, "Lord, teach us to pray." And we said the reason that they asked that is because they had seen how important prayer was in the life of Jesus. And they got to that point where they said, we need that. That's what we need. And so in Luke chapter 5, we have a very powerful verse of scripture that there's a lot to unpack in just this one verse. It's almost like a summary verse. It's like it comes at the end of a bunch of things that Jesus has been doing. And if we're not careful, I think we just can blow right past it. But I think it's placed here. I think Luke put it here because we need to understand how important prayer was in the life of Jesus. And so in Luke chapter 5, verse 16, well, I'm going to start in verse 15 and then read verse 16 as well, but let's start in verse 15. It says, "But the news about him spread even more, and large crowds would come together to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. Yet he often withdrew to deserted places and prayed." So there's a lot going on here. And what all's going on is things that have been happening in the context of this verse. In chapter 4, we have Jesus, doing so many things. He's begun his ministry, and this is the early ministry of Jesus. And you're going to see that he is extremely busy. And he's operating in the power of God. He's teaching and preaching in Galilee. You see that in the first part of chapter 4, verse 15. Says he was teaching in their synagogues and being praised by everyone. In verse 16, it says he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. As usual, he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. He was once again teaching and preaching. He was traveling from place to place. People were following Jesus. Crowds were coming to Jesus. And he was just, relentlessly preaching and teaching, but he was also healing the sick, helping people that were in need. He was driving out demons and fighting against demonic forces. You see that in verses 36 and 37. It says, "Amazement came over them all, and they were saying to one another, 'What is this message? For he commands the unclean spirits with authority and power, and they come out.'" And the news about him began to go out to every place in the vicinity. He's teaching and preaching and healing and fighting off demons and driving demons out of people's lives. His popularity is just, it's going wild, all right? He's exploding. People are coming from everywhere to be close to Jesus. They want to touch him and be healed. They want to hear him speak because they've never heard anyone speak with the authority that the Son of God speaks with. They've heard all these other teachers, but they've never heard anyone like Jesus. Crowds are coming to him. He is healing people, and then he's even in the midst of all of this, he's calling his disciples. He's calling his first disciples, and they're coming alongside him, and he's seeing his disciples and finding them and saying, "Hey, give that up and come follow me, and I'll make you a fisher of men." And of course, we know in the life of Jesus that while he is doing all of the things he's doing, the healing, the teaching, he's also intimately spending time with his disciples, training them, preparing them for the ministry that they're going to have while he's with them, but also the ministry that they're going to have when he ascends to heaven. So, I mean, he's pouring into these guys in like a real, real way. He is with them, spending every hour, every moment with them. I mean, Jesus has a lot going on, and these were exciting days. In fact, it's the kind of thing that if this kind of thing was happening in a church, man, you'd be like really excited, wouldn't you? You'd be saying, we can't fit anybody else in this place. Well, you know, where are all these people coming from? And well, we better keep this up. We better do this. We better start doing that. We better add this. You know, all this stuff is going on. I mean, these are exciting times. And so, man, if you were in a ministry and this was going on, you would be like, we are in it right here. Let's keep this thing going. But it fascinates me that in the middle of all of that, I mean, smack dab in the middle of it, we got this verse of scripture, which says this: while all of this is going on, while people are flocking to Jesus, needs continue to rise, opportunity is ever before Jesus. He's brought his disciples on board and he's training them. It says, yet he often withdrew to deserted places and prayed. I mean, think about that, what that just said. It means like in the middle of all of this, Jesus took the time to say, I need to walk away from all of these things and I need to get somewhere by myself. I need to go to a deserted place, and I'm going there not to get away from people because I don't want to be around people, or so not to get away so because I need a break from teaching, but simply because he knew he needed to spend time in prayer with his Father. Think about that. Here's what that tells me. Here's what this verse tells me today. It tells me this, and this is the first point in your notes there. Prayer powers all ministry. Prayer powers all ministry. In fact, I'd say it like this: prayer is the ministry that empowers all ministry. Prayer is so, so important. It's vital to the life of a Christian. Prayer to the Christian is like the air we breathe as people. Prayer to a church and the church's ministry is like the oxygen that we need to breathe. There were other times where the disciples tried to go out and do things, and people went out and tried to do things that Jesus told them that they could go do, and they weren't able to do the things and do the healings and drive the demons out and all these different things. And they came back and said, why didn't this happen? And Jesus said, because those things only happen through prayer. That's what he said. That's what he said to them. Why? Because prayer is that powerful and important in the life of a believer. What God has called us to as Christians is bigger than what we can do in our strength. The life that Jesus has called you to and for you to live is way bigger than anything you can do in your own strength. You and I must rely on God. And one of the ways that we rely on God is we seek his face in prayer. Did you know tonight, friend, that prayer is an act of faith? When you go to the Lord in prayer, you're first off humbling yourself before him. Second off, here's what you say when you pray: God, I need you. God, I need your help. God, if we're going to do this, you're going to have to help. You're going to have to be the one that does this. So as you think tonight about your life, and then let me just talk to us as a church, as you think about your ministries, as you think about what our church is going to do, as you think about what's happening in your Sunday school class, as you think about all the different ministries that you're a part of, understand something, that God wants that thing to be bathed in prayer. Because it's through the hard work of prayer that God blesses our lives in those ministries. And so I think once again, when you go later in Luke, when the disciples say, "Lord, teach us to pray," they're thinking back to these situations where they were like, you know what? All of these times when everyone else would have said, "Hey, let's just push on and keep going," because, man, crowds just kept on coming and this was the perfect time. Jesus always, he would just take time and he would get away. And we know what he was going to do. He was going to pray. And then he would come back and he would have that power of God would still be on him. And he'd continue to do that powerful work that Jesus was doing. So I want to encourage you tonight just to remember that truth, that prayer powers all ministry. We can't do anything without God, and we can't do anything without being people of prayer in the life of our church, in our ministries. But also, I want us to notice that prayer must be prioritized. You may not catch that in this verse, but it's there. If you're like me, sometimes I get just so caught up and so busy that I just maybe happen to pray. I might just happen to pray. Well, I'm thankful for those times that I just happen to pray. There's never a bad time to pray. If you just happen to pray, that's good. But Jesus had a prayer life. Prayer was a priority. It was so prioritized in his life that it was more important than all of those other things we started talking about in the first place. All of that ministry, all of that work, all of the things he was doing with his disciples, that he prioritized prayer, that he would leave all of those things in order to go somewhere else for the purpose of getting away and prioritizing prayer. And I would encourage us all to consider, do we have prayer as a priority in our life? Or is our prayer life only what happens on Sunday morning and Wednesday night? Is prayer, does it only happen at the dinner table? Does prayer only happen when we tuck our kids into bed at night? Now, all of these things are good. Don't get me wrong. Do not stop with those prayers. God loves those prayers. He wants us to do those prayers. When we wake up the morning and we might wake up and say a prayer, is that all we have? Is that our prayer life? If you pray in all of those ways, great. But did you know there's something even better out there? There's something better. It's prioritizing prayer to such a point that you take time out of your day to put everything else away for one purpose: to get alone with God and to spend time with Him in prayer. There's a difference between that and all those other things that I described to you, okay? It's having a priority, having a time where you literally get alone with the Lord with no agenda, and you just say, "I'm coming before you to have fellowship with you and to pray." But it has to be prioritized. I'll show you that it was prioritized in Jesus' life, even again, if you'll flip over to chapter 6. And I don't know if we'll have time to go through all of this tonight or not, but in Luke 6, verse 12, this is one chapter later, it says, "During those days, he went out to the mountain to pray and spent all night in prayer to God." Time and time again, here's what we see Jesus doing. He is literally, physically going somewhere for the sole purpose of prayer. Do you see? It's not just something he's doing. He doesn't just happen to do it. No, it's a priority. It's a meeting. It's a schedule. He's going to the mountain. And he's going somewhere where he can get alone with God and he can pray. But I want you to think about this also. Jesus, I believe, reveals to us that powerful prayer happens in desolate places. Now, just using the word here from the text, deserted places, right? Prayer, the type of praying that Jesus is doing, he had to get in a place where he would not be distracted by everything else that was going on. God's convicted me of this as I was preparing for this. Because I'm just telling you right now, my head is spinning. I'm meeting with people. People are calling me. I'm trying to sell a house. I'm sending emails. I'm doing all these different things. And I feel like, you know, there's not enough time in the day for me to do the things that I need to get done every day. And I'm just going to tell you where I'm at. If I'm not careful, I will find myself not praying the way that I really want to pray. And so what I'm seeing is there has to be times in the day, there has to be times in the week where I just say, sorry, I'm not answering the phone. Sorry, I'm not responding to a text message. Sorry, I've got to go somewhere where I'm getting away from everyone else. Because you're probably not like me, but I'm easily distracted. And here's the thing, when I get somewhere where there are no distractions, it's going to take me a long time to get where I'm not distracted still. And is anybody else there? Like, is anybody else, you start praying and you're about a minute in, and man, you're thinking about everything else, right? Hey, so I'm not alone in that. Okay, good. You know, that's natural for all of us. But we got to stay in it. And hey, God's not disappointed in you. He wants you to come and to pray. He's not disappointed in you. But here's the thing, you got to stay at it. And the longer you stay at it and the longer you sit there, and maybe you don't even have anything to say, and you just sit there and you listen and you meditate, eventually those things will start to go away. Those things will eventually go away. But it really helps to go to a deserted place. Some of the best times of meditation and just time spent with God has been on vacations for me. A few months ago, I was able to go to God's country. Does anybody know where that's at? It's not in Georgia. No, just Gatlinburg, Pigeon Forge, come on. Eddie Waters called me. I think it's his anniversary this week or something. He called me today. He said they're going to go celebrate their anniversary in Gatlinburg. I said, going to God's country. He didn't know what to say after that. Man, we went up, you know, it's the mountains. We were in a cabin in the mountains. And I had my wife and my kids there. But I was able to go out on the back deck of that cabin, overlooking all these mountains, and all, we're on top of all these trees and just looking over everything in the evenings, and I could just be alone with God. I remember that because of how wonderful that time spent with God was. I don't know, there's just something about like going somewhere to pray. There's some places in my life, I'm going to have to find those places around here. But there's some places in my life that I would just sometimes, I don't know why these places are like that, but there were places that I would go to pray. And they just became places that I would go to. Just a place to get away. just so I was going for a purpose, and I knew why I was going there. When I was praying about God, this church right here, there was a couple places where I would go to that place to just get with God. That's what we see Jesus doing. You see it all through the Gospels. That's why it always says he went to the mountain to pray. He went where he would go normally. He'd go to the Mount of Olives. He would go to the mountain. He'd go to a desolate place. He would desert a place. He would go somewhere to focus on that prayer life that he has. I want you to go to Luke chapter 6, and this is where we're gonna close tonight by looking at this happening again, right? And so we see this in chapter 5. Jesus, he comes back, and he goes back in chapter 5 to healing people and calling Matthew, and he's dealing with the Pharisees and Sadducees. I mean, he's just dealing with all kinds of stuff. And then, you know, you come here to chapter 6, verse 12, and it says, once again, during those days, he went out to the mountain to pray, and he spent all night in prayer to God. One of the things that I find a little bit different about this verse than the one we read earlier is in the word spent. Spent. You know, in life, we're used to things costing, right? And things that are important to us, things that we love, they normally cost us. We have to spend money on it. Those hobbies you love, you have to spend time on it. You spend money on it as well. And for some reason, I think we don't realize that prayer costs. There's a cost in prayer. It costs us something. And really, it's that thing that we would probably say is the most value, could be the most valuable thing. It's the thing that when it's gone and you can't get it back again. Time, right? Time. And we're always so busy, and there's only so much time. And we can do so many things. We can think about so many things. We can spend our time on so many things in life. Jesus spent, it says here, all night in prayer to God. I just want to give you this question. Don't answer it out loud. But how much time do you spend in prayer to God? And let me ask another question. If Jesus spent so much time in prayer, do you think you should be spending time in prayer? I mean, Jesus, the God-man on this earth, is praying and praying and praying and showing us how important it is. And we have time again where, man, he's spending all night in prayer to God. This isn't a 1 minute prayer. This isn't a 5 minute prayer. He is literally spending all night in prayer to God. That's how important it is. That's how powerful it is. That's how important it is in empowering the ministries that we are a part of. I'm going to read on down all the way through verse 19, and I just want to show you this. It says, after he had spent all night in prayer to God, when daylight came, he summoned his disciples, and he chose 12 of them, whom he also named apostles. Simon, whom he also named Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James and John, Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew and Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon, called the Zealot, Judas, the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. Listen to this. After coming down with them, he stood on a level place with a large crowd of his disciples and a great number of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and from the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon. They came to him, they came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And those tormented by unclean spirits were made well. Now, I circled this in my Bible. I circled verse 12 and I circled verse 19. Listen to verse 19. The whole crowd was trying to touch him because power was coming out from him and healing them all. Listen, I'm not saying that we're going to have power where people are going to come up and touch us and be healed. But I do want you to notice what is happening here, because I believe it's connected. It says, Jesus went to the mountain and he prayed all night, and he was getting ready for what was going to happen that next morning. He came off the mountain in such a way after spending all night in prayer that the people could just tell power was coming from Jesus. You've probably been around some men and women that you're like, boy, there's just something different about that person. You've been around them, you're like, I'd like to be as powerful as they are, as spiritually powerful as they are. Man, that person, their life just seems anointed. Man, when I'm around that person, I can just tell the presence of God is on that person. Ooh, I wish I could be like them. You can. You can. We can. Those people, I can guarantee you, they are spending much time in prayer with God. And God is empowering their lives as they humbly come before him and they seek his face, and his power is coming upon their lives, and you can just sense it and you can feel it in a tangible way. But make no mistake about it, prayer is costly. Prayer is hard work. That's why I shouldn't say that. I struggle with it. You may not. I struggle with it. You know why? Because prayer is that hard. I just believe prayer is hard. But it's worth it. We keep working at it, and we put in that work, and we put in that time. And I believe God honors it and God blesses it. So just because it's hard, just because it's costly, listen, I'm just trying to encourage us as a church, because I truly believe this, that what God wants to do in our church and in your life, in your family's life, in our lives, it's going to come through prayer. So I hope this has encouraged you tonight, and maybe there's just a couple things that you could take away from it, and it would challenge us all to be people of prayer. I'm gonna close with this final word. You probably already do this, but please make it a habit to be praying for your church. Please make it a habit to be praying for your church. Please make it a habit to be praying for your Sunday morning services. As much as you can, every week leading up to Sunday, please pray for, say, God, show up in a powerful way. God, bring lost people to this place. God, bring broken people on Sunday. God, anoint our choir. God, help our preacher. God, just go to him. I believe what God wants to do, he's going to do it. But he's called us to our part. And I believe prayer is a big part of that. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, you're so good to us. And Lord, I know tonight that in my own life, that need to spend more time in prayer with you. And Lord, I pray that we as a church would understand that we all have this ministry of prayer. That it's not just for this person or that person. But that what we need in our lives is only going to come through you. So we want to come to you, God, and just pray and seek your face and ask you to be with us. Lord, we ask that this Sunday you would continue doing a mighty work in our church. That the presence of Jesus would be in this place. That the broken would be mended. The lost would be found. Those that are hurting would find relief. That Jesus, you would be exalted and magnified, and that you would edify us and enrich in our lives as we worship you. God, we need you. We desperately need you. And so we just want to be faithful in what you've called us to, and we know you've called us to pray. So Lord, help us in that. Help us to grow in our prayer lives. Help us to take your example, Jesus, and to implement it in our lives. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.